Translation of Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord of all lords, proprietor of the entire universe, benedictor of all living entities, O original person, Adi Purusha, because of our good fortune, you have now killed the sinful demon who was giving trouble to the entire universe. Purport. The word Purvaja is described in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. All the demigods, including Lord Brahma, are manifest upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the original person, cause of all causes, Govinda, the Adi Purusham. End of the purport. Vrindavane ramanareti prasiddhabhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule gyanam padam padamai krishna sudharma chuktam dandasta deva prabhupada namo namaste. Sangasara dukkha jaladau paditasya kama krodha adina kramakarai Kavali Kritasya Duravasana Nigaritasya Nirasrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mamadehi Badavalam Bam Jaladara Shashivarno Gopavishi Kishoro Sahajara Gunavrindai Kridamana Vijay Sho Tatabharat Tivesho Nilapi Tambarad Yo Jagada Janana He To Ramakrishna Nato Asmi Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sandubeva Cha Paritanang Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The pastime of killing Hiranyakasipu was a leela of the Lord. The point was is that Hiranyakasipu, in his manifested form, was actually one of the two doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. So the Lord wanted to fight, so he would only fight with his devotee. So that's the first thing. But in his manifestation as the demon, he was harassing the universe. So that was a big deal. And Brahma was bright-faced because the Lord was pleased, because previously he wasn't. He was still very angry after killing Hiranyakasipu, and Prahlad Maharaj had to pacify him. So the anxiety of the demigods was that even Lakshmi Devi said that I never saw such an intense form of my Lord before. Even she was scared. Even Lakshmi Devi was scared. So, what to speak of Brahma and all the other demigods? So Brahma was saying, Nrisingadeva is very angry, having killed your father. Prahlad, you go pacify the Lord. So Prahlad thought, if the demigods can't pacify him, then who am I? A small person can pacify it. Nevertheless, I've received the order, I'm going to try. So he tried to do so. So the Supreme Lord Narahari was very pleased with Prahlad's words, put his hand on his head, and blessed him. And Prahlad was shocked by that. He said, all these great demigods are here, but you put your hand on my head. That's pretty astounding. So Brahma is bright-faced because Lord Narahari is now pacified by the words of Prahlad, and he's pleased. So yeah, it's the first thing. The first thing is that Brahma is pleased that Narahari is pacified. Like this. And the Supreme Lord is the benefactor of all living entities. So there is a nice prayers which people can learn called Sanaishchara Narasimha Stuti. They're prayers to the Nrisingadeva written by the Saturn planet, who regulates everybody, who basically disciplines everybody and gives trouble to everybody. But he was a devotee of Lord Narahari, so he offered very nice prayers. And afterwards, Lord Nrisingadeva says, Pritoham Shani Tubhyam Varam Varaya Shobanam. So I'm very pleased with you, Shani, for your prayers. Now I'd like to give you a benediction, Sarvaloki Hitavaram, which will be good for everybody. So Shani said to Lord Nrisingadeva, my dear Lord, if you wish to bless me because of my prayers, please bless me that whoever hears this stuti develops love for you and free of fear of me. And then Nrisingadeva said, Tathastu. So that is the nature of that prayer. was written by the Saturn planet. And anybody who chants that prayer to Nrisingadeva develops love for Nrisingadeva and free of fear of the Saturn planet, the regulatrix of living, the regulator of living entities, and one who disciplines all living entities. So, what's of interest is the shloka number 7. Nidavikara pararupa vichintanena. If somebody will meditate on the intense form of Lord Nrisingadeva as he's killing Hiranyakasipu. Sanchintaya, and having thinking thus, Vishaya agibi, you will be free from the sins of material desires. And Bhuta Jvara Graha Samudabhava Bhiti Nasham. You'll be free of the fear of Bhuta, living entities, or ghost, Jvara, fevers, Graha, malefic planets, like Shani, Samudabhava, obstacles, Bhiti Nasham, the fear of that will be destroyed. The Supreme Personality of Godhead destroys the obstacles of his devotees as described in 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 58, where it says that anyone who thinks of me, Chaitasa Sarvadurgani, thinking of me in all types of difficult circumstances, Madhaprasada Tarasisi, by my grace you'll cross over those problems. So that's the fact that in any manifestation of the Lord, if somebody remembers them, they cross over their problems. In the age of Kali, Krishna and Balarama manifest themselves as Gornatai, and they distribute Krishna consciousness to them, to the world. And they also destroy obstacles on the path of their devotees, like that. So, and all of the forms of the Lord which devotees worship are basically seen in those kind of lights. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes care of his devotees in any of the manifestation, Bharata, they are the best of givers of benedictions. Still, the Lord is manifested this Kali Yuga as Gornatai, and they distribute. So when you see Gornatai, you should remember your Lord, like that. What is very nice about it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, irregardless of how he's worshipped, destroys the pains and difficulties of his devotees. As Sanaishchara Narasimha Stuti says, that when somebody meditates on Nrisingadeva, Yovanija Bhakta Manalambo Dabhutu Roga. The Lord is meditating on his devotee. Yovanija Bhakta Manalambo Dabhutu Roga Shringa Prapata. As Prahlad Maharaj was trying to be pierced by the horns of animals, Vishadanta, or being bit by poisonous snakes, Sari Saribhya, Sarvatmaka Paramaka Raniko Raksha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead protects his devotee. So that shloka and the Sanishchara Narasimha Stuti describes how the Supreme Lord is conscious of the tribulations of his devotee. When the tribulations come, as they always will, whoever's got a material body, then it is an opportunity, Kunti Devi said, because it allows one to think of Krishna. And when you think of Krishna and depend on Krishna, then there's no more birth and death. So she said, in that case, samudbhava, difficulties, or vipad, obstacles are wanted if it's going to push the living entity to think of Krishna. Externally speaking, it's a little difficult to swallow that how a Kshatriya lady would ask for problems. Nobody doing management asks for problems. You know, like that. And as much as devotees that have material bodies ask for difficulties like colds and fever and like that, tuberculosis, cancer. You know, one devotee, disciple of Radhanath Maharaj, named Stoka Krishna, he went to Varshana and said, "You know, I have really no taste, Sriji, for the holy name. I think you're going to have to push me by giving me some terminal disease." And when he prayed like that, when he got to Bombay and did a health checkup, it turns out he had cancer. So be careful what you ask for. You may get it. Careful what you ask for, because you may get it. So, and if you ask for something, you better be ready for the consequences, like that. The Supreme Personality of God, it gives, and he can also take away. So, we better be ready for the consequences. And that should be the basis. We should see our desires from all levels. And it is not the obstacle, it is the opportunity. So sometimes Krishna does it of his own accord. The devotee prays to Krishna, "Please drag me to your lotus feet." So we cannot criticize the Lord, Gopi Puranadana was saying in his translation, when he does it. So that was the 10th canto, chapter 32, verse 20. The gopis were trying to plant Krishna into a corner. That, "Oh stubborn one, please reciprocate our love." So Krishna, previous to that, the gopis tried to paint Krishna into a corner by saying, "Please tell us the nature of friendship." Krishna described three kinds of friends. One is friends of the parents, that they're well-wishing even if the child is antagonistic. They remain well-wishers. The second type was, one is friends only with somebody who's friendly to them. And the third type was the Atmaramas, the self-satisfied people. Whether you're good or bad doesn't matter to them. They're equal poised. The gopis asked, "Which one are you?" And Krishna says, "We do all of it." But the main reason why I don't reciprocate is that I want to increase their love. So Gopi Pranadan said in his comment there that the devotees are always praying to Krishna to drag me to your lotus feet, so we can't criticize Krishna if he does it. So, but Vishwanath's commentary is a little deeper in Sarartha Darshani commentary, which is cool in that verse. He said, "Hridayanath, the Lord of the heart, used to come and speak to me, but he hasn't come lately, so what have I done? All of my service is therefore useless." So the devotee condemns himself and tries to improve himself. And Krishna, seeing that, smiles and remains silent. When the pain of separation from Krishna becomes too great, then the devotee calls out to Krishna, and because Krishna doesn't like to see his devotees in pain, gives him a little darshan. So when the devotee gets that little darshan, then he thinks that Krishna never left me after all. He likes me after all. And they become pacified. And as soon as that happens, Krishna leaves. Krishna leaves again. The whole circuit is again done again. So that's the idea. Krishna wants the devotee to be never in a comfortable situation, because that will push the devotee to increase his or her service. So, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, aram, comfortable life, is haram, is abominable. Aram is haram. We should always try to push ourselves up a little bit more, to do a little bit more, you know. It is better that we push ourselves than other people push us. Like that. So, Lord Brahma was pleased that Narahari finally became pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's words. And like that. So he spoke. "It's really, really good that you killed this demon who was giving so much trouble to the demigods." Like that. So, at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj was offering prayers to excuse the sinful activities of his father. Like that. And that is righteous in the sense that, as they say in Hindi, jo gaya ho gaya, what is gone is already gone. You know, so the guy is left. And basically, as if you look in Valmiki Ramayana, when Ramchandra killed Ravana, then he said, now my enmity is over. We don't have enmity with the spirit soul. We have enmity in the papa that he did when embodied in a material body. So Ramachandra said that I give up my anger with Ravana. So it's the same way that after killing Hiranyakasipu, the object, the body was finished, so the anger was also finished. Although Narahari, for his pastime, continued to show anger for a little bit more, because evidently he desired Prahlad Maharaj to try to pacify him. That was good. But actually, if you look at Valmiki Ramayana, when the personality of Godhead kills a demon, then the anger is over. So, another aspect of it is, how could the Supreme Lord be angry toward his devotee, one of the gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, ultimately speaking? You know? The only way to put it is that Narahari was angry because of the offense to the four Kumaras. But that, if you look at Third Canto, Chapter 15, the Lord was glorifying the Brahmanas and said, whatever the Brahmanas in a group meet and make a decision, that's to be considered the decision of the personality of Godhead. So, my doorkeepers have offended you, he said to the Tutushana, the four Kumaras, then I'll take responsibility for that. So the Kumaras didn't want the Supreme Lord to suffer on behalf of his doorkeepers, so immediately they mellowed out. So that's the idea. So one could think that Lord Narahari's continual anger after killing Hiranyakasipu was anger about the sinful activities that Hiranyakasipu was doing, which was disturbing the universe, or the anger was directed at the doorkeepers, at their foolishness for the four Kumaras. Or you could say that the Supreme Lord did it as an act to keep everybody else at bay, Lakshmi Devi and the demigods at bay, so that Prahlad Maharaj could glorify the Lord. Either way you look at it, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's will. He did something. He was planning out. Maybe all three. You know? That the Lord of the inconceivable way, Vishnujana Swami used to say, Adhokshaja, another definition of Adhokshaja, which is translated as infallible. Another translation is the Lord of the inconceivable way. You cannot conceive of what is going on. He's doing something. He is doing something. So Brahman was offering prayers because finally, because of Prahlad Maharaj's sweet words, finally Narahari became pacified and gave up his anger. You know, it's good. Yet Brahma couldn't forget that this demon had done so much in the universe to cause disturbance, and now the universe has become pacified because of Narahari's destroying the body of the demon. So, the biggest thing, as described, that in previous ages, in yugas, the demons and the demigods were on different planets. And in the Treta Yuga, the demons and the devotees were in the same planet, the same continent. And in the Dwapara Yuga, the demons and the devotees were in the same family. And in the Kali Yuga, the demons and the devotees are in the same body. So the Suras and Asuras are in the same body. So, Gauranga Mahaprabhu tries to destroy the demoniac nature of the living entity. We all have our free will. I asked this question to Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj in Lithuania, that what will it take for Krishna to force the living entity? to righten themselves, like a parent or something like that. All right, this is enough. I've had enough. You know, now I'm going to force the living entity. I was thinking maybe in Bhakti Sandarbha or something, you'll find some shlokas to that effect. When circumstances when the Supreme Lord interfere. Bhakti Vidyapurna Maharaj answered the question that Krishna will never interfere with the minute independence of the jiva. However, he will manipulate the situation. So that it's basically a foregone conclusion. You got to be stupid to decide something else. So Krishna makes it. At the same time, even if we realize that something is right, it doesn't mean we're going to do it. So therefore the situation may have to be manipulated further to force us to come to a good agreement. Therefore, continuing to pray to the Supreme Lord to force us to his lotus feet is a pretty good idea. It's a pretty positive idea. In that sense, it's pretty positive idea. But that he may adjust the circumstances in such a way that we will surrender more and more. This is positive. It's a positive aspect of it. Now, there are other game-changing experiences. I've been mentioning it a little bit yesterday, which one can do to try to push things along a little faster. One of them is serve Tulsi Rani. If you serve her and love her and think of her and work for her, then she will change things beyond your karma. It's not, for a parent and well-wisher in this material world, it's not what we want the child to be. It's what the child is. So they're constrained on their anugraha, their mercy, or their discrimination, or whatever. It's constrained because of the material qualifications or disqualifications of the person involved. Like that. However, Tulsi Rani is different. She is Jagat Dhatri. She has not got a material form. Her form is spiritual. If you want to serve Krishna, she can help you get it done. Therefore, her name is Bhakti Chaitanya Karani, the cause of devotional mood. And Sarva So Bhagyavardhani, everybody's good fortune is increased. Even down to the demons. You can actually give Tulsi Kanti to anybody. You can actually give Tulsi service to anybody. Prabhupada was saying about seeds. We don't give plants to non-devotees. That's where our head's at, right? But Prabhupada said in 71, I think it was, when Giriraj Maharaj was president of Bombay, when they were asking for Tulsi plants, he said, give them seeds. If she sprouts, who are we to tell her no? So you can give seeds to people. I also suggest giving e-books, how to take care of them. I also suggest keeping a lamp. A lot of our own devotees don't do that. 99% of their problems would be solved taking care of her if they got a good lamp. What's a good lamp? HPS, high pressure sodium. Costs you about 200 quid, but she flowers like anything. She really loves that spectrum. Ordinary stupid lamps, tube lamps and stuff, dopey. It's enough to keep the leaves going, but it's not going to make her flower. If flowers is what the pujaris want to offer the deities, get HPS, high pressure sodium. Other tube lamps are for the birds. It just doesn't work. The other one you can do is T5s. They're monsters. They're like the squiggly CFLs. Same style, but bigger. They're monsters. They're about this big. You know, like that. And a big, round, you know, thing for screwing in the bulb. And they're about this big. You know, they're monsters. But they burn very less juice. It's only about 105 watts a shot. They're good. If you can get them, they're also good. They're cool. You can keep it close to her. Doesn't bother her. You'd have to have three of them. One on this side, one on that side, one on top. They're also there. T5s. They're okay. HPS is better than T5s. But they're a little hotter. They got to be a little bit away from her. A little bit of a distance. But in the wintertime, you know, that's not such a big deal. And how long do you keep them on? 14 to 18 hours. Sun is extra. Whatever comes to the eastern window, sun is extra. If you got her in a place like I had in the 80s, in the 70s, the late 70s, early 80s, I was having her facing a southern window. She got zero direct sunlight coming through the window. So we were growing her in artificial light the whole time. We had it on 18 hours a day, from 4 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night. It's not a bad idea. You've got some direct lights coming through the window straight, if you got an eastern-facing window. Okay, knock off 4 hours. In the middle, you have a meter, turns it on, turns it off when the light's streaming through the window. Could do. And if you do that, her immune system gets boosted so much so that bugs and other things become history. 99% of the problems are alleviated by a good lamp. Like that. And Tulsi disappears when lamps are not provided. Or another thing is that she stretches first for the light. She stretches in the window on the other side, like that. Or she stretches up looking for the lamp. So that's one consideration of having a useless lamp, is that she's going to stretch. If you crop the top bud, then she stretches less. Another thing is that an HPS bulb is such a strong light, the tendency for her to stretch is less. So you're going to have a much less problem. It's really, really cool. I've been getting some recent stuff about it. HPS is cool. They're so cool that even the government is using them on the streets now. They're longer lasting. They last a much longer time. They're much more efficient as a light source. They're even using them on the highways at night. They're using them on HPSs at night. So it's quite good. They're quite good lamps. Next thing, game-changing, is a codicive retinum. Everybody needs to improve. And we know we're not this body. A codicive means prove it. What are you doing to prove it? You know you're not this body. What are you doing to prove it? You know the philosophy. Codicive retinum is like that. Now, it's not just the ordinary codicive that ISKCON thinks about. No grains, no beans, stuff. Beginning. That's the beginning stuff. Okay? We can eat, can't we? If you're preaching. If you're going out preaching. How much is that? 1% of the population? The rest of the time, do austerities to purify your nature. Then your preaching or your service will be much better. Your namahatib will be much better. Like that. Old habits die hard. We're used to eating. We're used to sleeping. You know, one day every 2 weeks, it throws a monkey wrench in. It's a little difficult to do it. You're going to have some boost. There are something. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 12, it mentions, if you have to eat something or you have to sleep something, if you offer a garland, a Tulsi garland that you made with your own hands to the Lord's neck, Krishna will be so pleased with you, he'll give you the result of Ekadasi Vratam anyway. What to speak is if you did the whole thing and you gave him a Tulsi garland. Wow. That's amazing. Then it says, Dwadasi Day, don't take it off. You can take off the flowers, but don't take off the Tulsi. Krishna likes it. You leave it on, Hari Bhakti Vilas said, for Dwadasi Day. Cool stuff. Now, the only way to push yourself to improve is that when there is a Jai Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornatai Tulsi Ranagi Jai Shalagram Gun. If you got your buddies, you know, for pujaris, you know, at 1 o'clock in the morning when he gets tired, he obeyed the deity. I mentioned a little bit yesterday. It's cool stuff. It actually works. If you fast more than 24 hours, the body has a lot of toxins flowing from it. First thing you eat, you'll have an intestinal explosion, basically. But if you drink at paran time, at breakfast time, if you drink a liter of charanamrit containing heavy amounts of yogurt, like half, then there's no intestinal explosion. Wow. Works great. So this is an impetus. The pujaris bathe the deity. Now, Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions, if you bathe the deity after the Dwadasi Tithi has occurred, 2 weeks of your worship go to the demon Vatapi. Banaswami said, not very many people do that. I go, yeah, well, it's there. The shloka is quoted. Might as well. So it means that it's an impetus if you have a personal deity, okay? Then, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning on the Kadasi night, worship, you bathe your deity in public. And you bathe him with 50% of it should be yogurt. Then there's no intestinal explosion when you distribute the charanamrita. Prabhupada's godbrother said in 1996, nirjala is not a big deal. Staying up all night, that's the big deal. So it's tough. How do you do it? Well, the trick is you have nice PowerPoint presentations for the adults from like 7:30, 8 o'clock to 10. At 10 o'clock, you stop that. Some very sensitive lady, rotation, right, takes care of the little scrappers. The little scrappers, they come because they push their parents to come because they want to meet their friends. So the ladies take the kids to the next universe, you know, the next door over like that. Parents are free. We don't have to worry about the kids, you know, like that. Nice PowerPoint presentations for the adults. Wow. Be there or be square. It's happening in the middle of the week, but I can't miss that. It's going to be, they announced it in advance. It's going to be too cool. I have to go. So that's the other thing. And by 10 o'clock, you stop it. By 10 o'clock, you stop it. Fakir Mohan was telling me after 10 o'clock, people don't have any brains to listen. Their senses are, they're used to sleeping at 10 o'clock, post 10 o'clock. They can't pay attention after that. So the PowerPoint presentations and things last up to 10. After 10, only kirtan. Now, if you're doing nirjala, how long are you going to bang a drum, play kartals, pump a harmonium? Maybe an hour. A little bit more, maybe. Right? The king of Orissa was ready for that. He said they had a B-shift, C-shift, D-shift, waiting in the wings. People ready to do kirtan. When you quit, we're ready. The other people take over. So then, in the wee hours especially, he said, you don't count the people from 10 o'clock p.m. They're not going to stay. You count the people at 1 or 2 a.m. They're going to stay the whole night. That's cool. Okay? Then, all night long, you just get a roster. Like in the 24-hour kirtan, they had a kirtan mela. They had a roster. XYZ for such and such period, 1 hour. Like this. So people, it's posted in advance so people know. Well, my favorite kirtan leader, I got to be there, you know. And if you sit down, I'm just so tired, you know, and you want to snooze a little bit. Then your spouse bumps you. Hey, the kirtan's rolling. Yeah, the kirtan's rolling. Keep moving. Keep dancing, you know. Don't stop moving. Don't stop dancing. Don't sit down. So that's the trick, you know, like that. And if winter is cool, this is what's good for UK, you know. Winter is cool for that because it keeps you fresh, right? If you have difficulty at 1 a.m., go outside without your coat and walk around a little bit. No problem, you know, like that. These are some tricks of the trade. And the next day, you know, at parent time, when you got your charanamrita, you ask, hey, Gornatai, could you do something about XYZ? Who's that, you know? Your grandmother, auntie, uncle, your stupid teenage kid doesn't listen to you anymore, you know? Gornatai, could you do something about that, you know? My dear Lord, Radha Krishna, can you do something about XYZ, you know? And then if they don't, because sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't do it as fast as you'd like it to do, right? Then it means you have to up your ante. That's what they want. They want you to up your commitment. When you up your commitment, by that time, you don't even care about your grandmother, grandfather, auntie, uncle, your stupid kid. You become so absorbed in the deity. But the deities never forgot that you asked for it, you know? And what's cool about it, in Hari Bhakti Vilas 12, Sanatan Pat says, in the mandatoriness of Ekadasi, he says, if you fast on behalf of somebody else, brahmana, brahmani, sadhu, sadvi, fast, if you can't fast, something happens, you can't fast, then you'll get 100 times the benefit than if you fast it for yourself. Hey, great. Great deal. This is why fasting on behalf of trying to purify other jivas is not a bad idea. You purify yourself and you purify them too. Why not? If they don't get better miserably, then it means you have to increase your commitment. That's all. It's not a bad idea. These two things are game changers. Tulsi Rani is Moksha Pradayani. Amritattva Pradayani, she gives liberation. She increases everybody's good fortune, even the demons. And worshipped by the demigods and the demons because she changed their life. Next, Akadasi, it said, you could have been a prostitute, a gunda, extortionist, murderer. Didn't matter what you did. If you did Akadasi, you're liberated anyway. Great. It's another game-changing experience. When I did the first one on New Year's Eve last year, that's one. The next day, Hridayanath reciprocates more in the heart than you ever happened to you before. When that happens, you start thinking, my God, where have I been all these years? Exactly what I thought. Where have I been, man? You could always improve it. The more you do Akadasi, the Supreme Lord will fulfill all of your desires in your heart, including the desires to rejoin the Supreme Lord's pastimes. Who's qualified? No one. Our Gurudev grabbed us and offered us to Krishna, so Krishna's responsible for us, but nobody's qualified to in Kali Yuga to enter the Supreme Lord's pastimes. It's the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was singing like that in Kalyan Kalpataru. Parthana Dainyamai section. First bhajan. He says, in that bhajan, he says, Vaishnavara Nivedane Krishna Dayamoy Ehano Pamara Trati Hoy Be Sadoy. When the Supreme Lord hears the prayers of the Vaishnavas, Shunya Amara Doka Vaishnava Thakur Amalage Krishna Nivedana Prachur. He says, hearing of my miseries, the Vaishnavas will become very soft-hearted, will make a prayer to the Supreme Lord on my behalf. Vaishnavara Nivedane Krishna Daya Moy Ehano Pramara Trati Hoy Besadoy. Hearing of the prayers of the Vaishnavas, Krishna will make a plan for my deliverance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it quite clearly in that bhajan. Vinodera Nivedane Vaishnava Charane Kripokoro Sange Laha Ea Kinchone. Therefore Bhaktivinoda prays to the Vaishnavas, please keep me, keep this fallen person in your company. Such a charming thing, you know. Really, this bhajan is so neat, you know. Kripokoro Vaishnava Thakur. That's another one. Kabe Sri Chaitanya Mori Hoy Be Udoy. That's that bhajan that I'm just quoting from. Kabe Sri Chaitanya Mori. Really nice bhajan. Anyway, this is actually what devotees can do. These are game-changing experiences. Now, the thing about it is, so much goes through one ear and out the other. So many people, you give a lecture, just goes through one ear and out the other. Yeah, it was interesting. I'm not going to do a damn thing about it. So, abhyasanam, practice, means you actually do it. You get off your duffer and you do it. When you do it, then you get mercy of the devotees. Abhyasanam is the real mercy. When you take something and you run with it, when you grab that football and you run with it, then that is happening. This is how it happens. So, and Rani is very tricky, just like her husband. She'll make all different types of excuses and this dude steal your time and service, like that. And she will come in the heart like Krishna and satisfy and give you brains how to do whatever you got to do. You know, it's really amazing stuff. So the whole thing is that just try to increase in individual capacity in your preaching or whatever people you cultivate. Increase the love for Tulsi Rani's seva and Akadasi Vratam. These two things are game-changing experiences. When you actually do it, you're amazed. And you can always improve it. You can always increase it. It purifies everybody and it's increasable. And then whatever your relationship with Krishna, you'll become more sattvic and you'll become more amiable to understand the nature of who you're talking about or who you're serving. They start to reveal their nature. It's very charming. He's starting to steal Krishna's strategies. Krishna's a chitchor. He loves to steal hearts, no? So sometimes you can see how he's making excuses to do that. Very charming, you know? And Tulsi Rani's the same thing. Sometimes she makes excuses how to steal. It's very charming when you see it. It's really cool stuff. And we're their assistants. Our business is to help them steal. Is to help encourage people to approach them so that they'll steal their heart. It is not exceptional that they stole our heart. But their business is they're willing to steal everybody's heart. And our business is to help them steal it. Then we'll be happy. And they'll be happy and all living entities will be happy. Proportionally. Like that. Abhyasanam. It's Shiksha Anusara Vardma. When they actually follow the instructions, the path of the instructions of the sadhus or the sadvis, then they get. To that extent they follow, they get mercy. Otherwise, it's not there. What did they get? Eye exercise and ear exercise. The other people who just sit in the lecture and are not ready to take notes and actually transform their life, what are they getting? Ear exercise and eye exercise. That's it. That's all they got. If they don't transform themselves and get off their duffer and do something, then that's all they get. Eye exercise and ear exercise. That's all they got. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, sadhus and sadvis. Is there any questions now? Can I serve the devotees?